Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Think your neighbors are bad? Think again. This is the Nightmare Neighbors Podcast.
All right, so are you ready for a deep dive into a story that's both shocking and sadly something a lot of us can relate to? You know that feeling when you just can't escape those nightmare neighbors?
Oh, absolutely. This one is a prime example. What really struck me was how creative this conflict got, you know, with all those layers of passive aggression that went way beyond your typical noise complaints.
Yeah, you're telling me we're taking a deep dive today into a letter to the Nightmare Neighbors podcast. And let me tell you, this listener definitely wins like the Patience Award, living above Slammy Sue and Threatening Todd. I mean, those nicknames alone,
oh yeah,
they speak volumes. But let's rewind to the beginning. You described this initial period as a symphony of slams.
It's interesting the names that you chose for them. Mm-hmm. Right off the bat, you're framing this whole conflict, you know, as this thing that's filled with noise and intimidation. It's almost like you're setting the stage for like a play.
Exactly. Doors, cupboards, drawers. It's like they were trying to create their own percussion ensemble, using your apartment as the instrument. And it wasn't just the volume, right? It was the aggression behind those slams. What do you make of that? Is it just inconsiderate or is there something more?
It's definitely inconsiderate, but I think it goes deeper than that.
Yeah.
You know, this constant like barrage of noise, especially when it's so forceful, it can be a way to exert control over the environment, a way of impacting your peace, whether consciously or not.
And then there's Sue and her, shall we say, passionate relationship with Alexa, blasting music at all hours.
Yeah.
And then yelling, "Alexa, pause." It's almost comical, but I imagine it got old pretty quickly.
Yeah, that really stood out to me. You know, you think about it, technology is supposed to make our lives easier. But here becomes just another tool in this neighborly war. Even seemingly like innocuous devices can become weapons when they're wielded with intention.
Yeah, you're right. It's not just about the noise itself. It's that disruption, the unpredictability, the feeling that you're constantly on edge. You never know when the next sonic assault is coming.
Exactly. That constant anticipation can be incredibly draining. You know, it's a form of psychological warfare, even if it's not physical or overtly aggressive.
And then we have the birthday incident, which I'm guessing wasn't as celebratory for you as it was for Sue. Your partner went downstairs at like 1:30 in the morning to ask him to quiet down. And Sue's response was, well, let's just say not exactly neighborly.
You know, alcohol often plays a role in these neighborly disputes. It lowers inhibitions, and it can lead to confrontations that might not have happened otherwise. Sue's dismissive, even hostile reaction, you know, it really highlights that lack of empathy and consideration for your situation.
Yeah, it's as if she was reveling in the fact that you weren't getting any sleep. You and your partner did the right thing by contacting the landlord. Sadly, the landlord's response was basically a shrug and talk to them.
Yeah. Unfortunately, landlords often find themselves caught in the middle of these situations. They're reluctant to take sides or enforce consequences, which can leave tenants feeling frustrated and powerless.
So what do you do when your pleas for peace are ignored? You fought back, and I have to admit your weapon of choice was pretty creative. A broom.
Yeah, the broom becomes this symbol of defiance, right? A way to reclaim some control in a situation where you feel powerless. It's a subtle but persistent form of retaliation.
Every slam was met with a resounding thump from your trusty broom. It's understandable, right? That need to push back to make some noise of your own.
Absolutely. When traditional avenues for resolution fail and you're facing constant disruption, it's natural to seek alternative ways to assert yourself.
But of course, this only served to escalate things. And then came that late night visit from Threatening Todd, shirtless and fueled by an energy drink. Can you paint that picture for us? Because it sounds like something out of a movie.
The image that you've described, it's so vivid and it speaks volumes about Todd's intent. The lack of a shirt, the energy drink, it's all about intimidation, a display of dominance designed to make you feel threatened.
And it worked. That implicit threat, the or else hanging in the air, it created a whole new level of anxiety. It wasn't just about the noise anymore. It was about feeling unsafe in your own home.
Exactly. It's the unspoken threat, the potential for escalation, that creates a climate of fear. You're left wondering what lengths they might go to in order to silence you.
And then just when you thought things couldn't get any weirder, Sue unleashes her inner performance artist. I don't even know what to call it.
What's fascinating is how the conflict shifts from noise to this more visual and symbolic form of aggression. You know, Sue's creating a spectacle, a stage for her grievances.
It started with a glitter pen note threatening to call the police over harassment. Classic Sue. But then she really ups the ante. She orders 6 life-size mannequins. I mean, who does that?
The mannequins become these silent witnesses to the conflict, a constant reminder of Sue's presence and her determination to make her displeasure known. And this is where we start to see the lengths that people will go to when they feel unheard and ignored.
Okay, but the mannequins themselves weren't even the weird part. It was what she did with them. She created this bizarre dystopian Zen garden on her patio, complete with neon yoga outfits, contorted poses, and whale noises on a loop. And the kicker, she never actually did yoga.
Yeah, it's performance art as passive aggression. It's almost like she's mocking your complaints while simultaneously trying to project an image of serenity and control. It's a bizarre contradiction.
It's like she wanted to create a visual representation of the chaos she was inflicting upon your lives. And it worked, right? It became this constant, unsettling presence that you couldn't escape.
Absolutely. It's a way of exerting control over the shared space, turning your own home into a battleground for this bizarre and relentless campaign. We'll delve more into the why of Sue's behavior a bit later, but first I want to hear about your vacation. Because even when you tried to escape, Sue found a way to insert herself into the narrative. Welcome back. I'd like to dive a little deeper into like the psychology behind this feud, if we can.
I think that's a great idea. This entire situation, it feels like a case study in passive aggression, taken to like an almost artistic level.
Yeah.
How is it even possible to take things this far?
That's a really good question. And the answer is multifaceted. On one hand, you have the intentional use of passive aggression as a way to exert control without direct confrontation. Think about the slamming the Alexa, even the mannequins. All designed to disrupt your peace without a single word spoken directly to you.
Yeah, it's truly like a masterclass in avoiding direct communication while simultaneously maximizing disruption.
Right.
But then there's the question of why. What do Sue and Todd actually get out of behaving this way? Do you think they even know?
That's the million-dollar question. Without knowing them personally, it's hard to say for sure. However, there are some possibilities that we can consider, you know, based on their behavior. Perhaps they derive a sense of power or control from this dynamic.
Yeah.
Maybe it stems from like an inability to communicate effectively or a fear of direct confrontation.
So you're saying their actions might stem from insecurity rather than malice?
I have to admit, with the level of animosity they've shown, I'm finding that a little hard to believe.
It's certainly possible that their behavior is rooted in, you know, deeper psychological issues. It's not uncommon for unresolved personal conflicts or underlying mental health conditions to manifest in disruptive or even destructive behaviors.
And then there's the impact on like the recipient of this behavior in this case. You know, this whole experience highlights just how challenging these neighbor disputes can be. It's like a legal and emotional no man's land.
You hit the nail on the head. These situations are often incredibly difficult to resolve because traditional avenues for conflict resolution are often inadequate. Landlords can be hesitant to get involved. Law enforcement might not consider noise complaints a high priority. And then there's the legal system, which can be a costly and time-consuming process that many people simply can't afford or don't want to endure. Yeah, it sounds like a perfect storm for frustration, which is exactly what you describe in your letter. You tried communicating with the landlord. You even resorted to a bit of counter-passive aggression with the broom, but nothing seemed to work. It's no wonder you felt trapped.
That feeling of helplessness is common in these situations, you know? You feel unheard and ignored with no clear path to resolution, and the constant stress can take a real toll on your well-being, both mentally and physically.
In the end, you made the difficult but ultimately necessary decision to move. Is that often the only way to escape these toxic living situations? What advice would you give to someone facing like a similar nightmare?
Unfortunately, moving is sometimes the best option, even if it's heartbreaking, to give up your home. However, there are some things people can do to try to resolve the situation before it reaches that point.
I think our listeners would love to hear those strategies.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about preventing an escalation like what we've seen here?
First and foremost, documentation is key. Keep a detailed record of every incident, the date, the time, the nature of the disturbance. This log will be invaluable if you need to involve the landlord, law enforcement, or even pursue legal action.
That makes perfect sense. A clear pattern of behavior is much more compelling than a single complaint.
Absolutely. Next, try direct communication, but approach it strategically. Avoid confrontation or accusatory language. Instead, focus on expressing your concerns calmly and respectfully with the goal of finding a mutually agreeable solution.
Easier said than done, right? Especially when you're dealing with someone like Sue, who doesn't seem particularly receptive to reason.
You're absolutely right. It can be incredibly challenging, especially when emotions are running high. But sometimes a calm and direct approach can be surprisingly effective. You might find that your neighbor is simply oblivious to the impact of their behavior. Or they may have an underlying issue that's contributing to the problem, something that could be addressed through open dialogue.
So there's always hope for a peaceful resolution. I guess it's about approaching the situation with a balance of firmness and empathy.
Exactly. If direct communication fails, then it's time to involve the landlord. Provide them with your detailed documentation and request their assistance in resolving the dispute. A good landlord should be invested in ensuring a peaceful living environment for all their tenants.
And if the landlord is unresponsive or ineffective, as was sadly the case in your situation, what are the next steps?
At that point, it might be necessary to explore other avenues such as mediation or even legal action. There are organizations that specialize in conflict resolution, and they can provide a neutral space for you and your neighbor to try and work things out. And of course, if all else fails, there are legal options available to protect tenants from harassment and unreasonable noise levels.
It's important to know that you have options and that you don't have to suffer in silence. But as you mentioned, legal battles can be costly and time-consuming.
Mm.
Are there any preventative measures that people can take before things escalate to that level?
Absolutely. Building a sense of community with your neighbors can be incredibly helpful. Get to know the people who live around you. Attend building events if they're offered. A friendly face and a willingness to communicate can go a long way in preventing conflicts or resolving them more easily if they do arise.
So building those relationships early on can create a foundation of respect and understanding, making it more likely that issues can be addressed amicably if they do come up. I love that perspective. It's so much more proactive than waiting for problems to arise.
Exactly. It's about fostering a sense of shared responsibility for the well-being of the community.
Yeah.
And remember, even in the midst of conflict, self-care is essential. The stress of dealing with a nightmare neighbor can be overwhelming.
Yeah, it's easy to get caught up in the battle and forget to take care of yourself. What are some things that listeners can do to prioritize their own well-being in these situations?
Find healthy ways to manage stress. Exercise, meditation, spending time in nature. These can all help to reduce anxiety and improve your overall mood. Connect with supportive friends and family. Talk to them about what you're going through. Don't be afraid to ask for help. And remember, you're not alone. There are resources available, and seeking professional help from a therapist or counselor can provide you with coping mechanisms and strategies for dealing with the emotional toll of a difficult situation.
All great advice. This deep dive has been a roller coaster. We've unpacked a story filled with passive aggression mannequins and even flying spaghetti.
Mm.
But beneath the absurdity, there are some really valuable lessons about conflict resolution and the importance of prioritizing our own well-being in these challenging situations.
Yeah.
And we're not done yet.
Not quite. We still have to explore some alternative approaches to conflict resolution and perhaps challenge ourselves to think about how we might have handled the situation differently.
Welcome back. So far, we've really broken down like the anatomy of this neighborly feud, but I think it's time to kind of shift gears a bit.
Yeah, I agree. We've analyzed the what and the how, but now I think it's time to delve into like the what if. What if we approach this situation with a different lens, you know, seeking alternative paths to resolution?
Exactly. You've tried so many things, talking to the landlord, even a little bit of retaliatory noise making with that broom.
Yeah.
But nothing really seemed to work. So let's brainstorm some other strategies.
Right.
What else could you have done?
One approach that's often overlooked, especially in these heated situations, is genuine empathetic communication. I know it might sound counterintuitive, and you know, especially with someone like Sue, but sometimes the most powerful tool in a conflict is a genuine attempt to understand the other person's perspective.
Okay, I have to admit, I'm struggling to wrap my head around that. We're talking about Sue, the glitter pen-wielding, mannequin-obsessed, spaghetti-throwing neighbor.
Yeah.
Where do you even begin to find empathy there?
I understand your skepticism, but think about it this way. We've spent a lot of time analyzing Sue's actions, but we haven't really considered her motivations.
Yeah.
What's driving her behavior? What's going on in her life that we're not seeing?
You're suggesting that beneath all the outrageous antics, there might be a human being hurting in her own way. Maybe her actions are like a misguided cry for help.
It's certainly a possibility. Perhaps she's dealing with loneliness stress or unresolved personal issues that are manifesting in this disruptive behavior. We don't know her story, but assuming the worst might not be like the most productive approach.
So instead of approaching her with like anger or frustration, What if you had tried to connect with her on like a human level?
Exactly. What if you had knocked on her door not to complain or retaliate, but to simply say, hey, I've noticed things have been a bit tense between us lately. Is there something we can do to improve the situation?
It's hard to imagine that working with someone as seemingly unreasonable as Sue, but I see your point. It's about shifting the dynamic from confrontation to collaboration. But what if she had just slammed the door in your face?
That's where setting boundaries comes in. You know, you can be empathetic and compassionate without being a doormat. You can say, look, I understand if you're not ready to talk right now, but I'm here if you change your mind. In the meantime, I need you to respect my right to peace and quiet in my own home.
So you're saying there's a balance to be struck between kindness and firmness. You can extend an olive branch while also making it clear that you won't tolerate being disrespected.
Precisely. And if those efforts fail, you always have the option of involving a mediator. There are professionals trained to facilitate communication and help people find common ground, even in the most challenging situations.
Yeah, mediation could have been like a game changer here. It creates a neutral space for dialogue guided by someone who's skilled in conflict resolution. It takes the pressure off you to be the fixer and allows for a more structured and objective approach.
Exactly. It's about finding a solution that works for everyone involved, not about winning or losing.
This whole conversation has really shifted my perspective. We've gone from feeling outraged by Sue's behavior to exploring the possibility of understanding her motivations and seeking alternative paths to resolution. It's a reminder that even in the most frustrating situations, there's always room for empathy and creative problem solving.
And remember, even if you've exhausted all avenues for resolution and ultimately decide to move as you did, the lessons that you've learned from this experience can empower you to navigate future conflicts with more confidence and resilience. You've developed coping strategies, you've learned to advocate for yourself, and you've honed your communication skills. Those are invaluable assets in any neighborly ecosystem.
This deep dive has been so insightful. We've unpacked your story, explored the psychology of conflict, and even brainstormed some alternative approaches to resolution. What a journey.
It's been a pleasure. It's amazing how a single letter can spark such a rich and nuanced conversation about like the complexities of human interaction.
So to wrap things up, I'll leave our listeners with this final thought. The next time you encounter a neighborly nuisance, take a deep breath before reacting. Consider the why behind the behavior. Explore different paths to resolution. And remember, empathy can be a powerful tool even when it feels impossible.
Beautifully said. And don't forget the importance of self-care. These situations can be incredibly draining, so make sure you're taking care of your own well-being throughout the process.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the wild world of neighborly conflicts. We'll catch you next time for another fascinating exploration of the human experience.
Want more Nightmare Neighbors stories? Then press subscribe now wherever you're listening to this podcast. We'll give at least one brand new Nightmare Neighbor story every single day. Plus, you can always explore the archive as well. This is the Nightmare Neighbors podcast. Press subscribe now.